When I turned 18, I thought I knew it all. Everything about anything, and no one can change my mind or tell me any different. I didn't go to college right out of high school. Working full-time and making money seemed like a better plan for me, at least until I could pick a major. My mom and stepfather told me that if I wasn't going to college, I was going to have to pay rent to continue living at their house. They were going to charge me $135 a month. $135 a month? Yeah, right, I thought. I'll teach them and just move out. I got an apartment with my friend, and we split the cost of everything. It wasn't too long after starting my adventure in the real world that I realized how good $135 a month really was. I only made $7.25 at my job, and between rent, utilities, groceries, and all other odd little expenses, I was coming up short to even put gas in my car, let alone have money to go out and have fun. My friend was starting to feel the pressure too, and she moved back in with her parents. I could barely afford to pay half of the bills. What was I going to do now? I was terrified and realized I didn't know it all, after all. I was slowly sinking. It was time to swallow my pride and ask to move back home. I would gladly pay $135 a month to live there. And as if my mother had some sort of psychic connection to my thoughts, she called me and said she wanted to talk. We met for lunch, and I thought this conversation was going to lead to my light at the end of the tunnel. Instead, I was dealt a devastating blow. My stepdad had taken a new job in Pittsburgh. They were leaving Sioux City and moving over 1,000 miles away. I was crushed. My mom said I could come with them, but the thought of moving to a big city scared me half to death. I decided I would brave it here, alone. My parents put their house on the market and the months to their moving day ticked by. The house wasn't selling as fast as they'd hoped. My stepfather made the move to Pittsburgh before the rest of the family in the spring. I began helping more with my brothers, picking one up from kindergarten and the youngest from daycare every day. I'd bring them home and usually stay for dinner before going back to my apartment for the night. I longed to just be able to live at home again. I knew that as soon as the school year was over, my family would leave. And now, more than ever, I felt how devastating this move would be for the relationship with my brothers. They were so young, and we were closer than ever. I was scared that the distance between us would sever our bond. Eventually, the school year ended, and my family decided to move, even though their house was still on the market. I was given the keys to my childhood home, and my mom said the realtor would be in touch with me. Shortly after my 19th birthday, their moving day arrived. With the moving truck loaded, I hugged my little brothers and stepfather goodbye, and I sobbed in my mother's arms. I didn't want to let her go. I didn't want to let any of them go. I made a last-ditch effort to stall them by saying I wanted to move with them after all, but we knew that wasn't true. My friend Amy was with me so I wouldn't be by myself when they left, but while I watched the moving truck pull away and disappear down the street, I felt more alone than ever. Later, my mom called to tell me they'd made it safely to their motel at their first stop along the way to Pittsburgh. I tried to not cry as we talked, but I sobbed in my pillow for close to an hour after I hung up the phone. I drove from my apartment to their house on the other side of town and let myself in. I walked through the house, looking at each room. I stopped in the living room that was always filled with family. I peered into my brother's empty rooms. My heart ached. I missed them already. I eventually made my way to the backyard and stopped at the spot where my dog Red was buried. We got her when I was 4 years old and she was the same age as me. From then on, we were inseparable. She was with me when my parents divorced when I was 5. She was with me when we made the big move from Wyoming to Sioux City when I was 10. She was with me until I was 17. I cried thinking of how some other family will soon own this house and how they'd never even know that Red, my best friend for 13 years, was buried right in this spot. I went back into the house and sat on the cold kitchen floor with my back against the cabinets. I stared at the empty space where our dining table once stood, remembering all of the family dinners that this kitchen hosted and all of the cookies that were made. I ended up falling asleep right there on the kitchen floor that night, using my jacket for a blanket. As the days passed, I visited the house every day right after work. I almost felt obligated to do so, like this home was my child. I had to make sure it was safe and protected. Each day I went, I cried a little less than the day before. I slowly adjusted to the fact that my family had left. The day came when the realtor called to tell me that the house had been sold and she was going to need the keys from me. I made the drive across town to the house one last time, and I walked through it once more from room to room and said my final goodbye to Red. I left the keys on the kitchen counter like I had promised the realtor I would do. It was almost freeing to know that I could not visit my childhood home anymore. Going back every day took its toll on me, but I felt like I had to visit so I could hold on to the memories of my family. I had to let go. I needed to build a life of my own. Right then and there, I decided that I was going to prove to myself that I could make it on my own. As I drove away, I took one last glance at the house in the rearview mirror and smiled. Thank you.
Angie C. Wilson is a wife and mother of three who works at the Sioux City Public Library. After a 15-year break, she's finishing her bachelor's degree at the University of Iowa. Angie read her story at Ode's live storytelling event in May. Tune in Wednesday mornings at 7:50 to hear more stories from Ode. Next week, Ryan Allen weaves a winding tale about a wild New Year's Eve night with dragons, fairies, and pixie dust in Portland, Oregon.
And so as my mind and eyes spun from Lou Reed to kimono angels to colors fractaled and prismed across a real-life palette of light, one thing, and only one thing, came into clear focus.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. To learn more, find Ode on Facebook. You can also find past stories on kwit.org. The next live storytelling event is Saturday, July 30 at Vanguard Arts. The music you're hearing is by Michael Northcutt. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
I am trapped in this dark, dark night. Need to claw my way out of this fight. Need to feel hope is real in my grave. In a trance, my last chance to make it right. Not a tear. Now it's time to find my light. Here's today, walk away from your future. Tomorrow's here, we fear not our future. When we fall, we get up and we move on. And now I fall under pressure next to you. I can be no more. This game, I can see no more than this fate. Walking around looking for you to blame. Hold your head up high, know your name. Hold my arms one last time, all the same. Here's today, walk away from your future. Tomorrow's here, we fear not our future. When we fall, we get up and we move on. And now I fall under pressure next to you. Thank you so much.